This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words for love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
Once more, we are going to encounter one of those images or allegories found in John's Gospel, and Dr. Wyatt will introduce to us He who is also the true vine.
Thank you, Dennis. This is, for me, quite enjoyable, hopefully bringing some new thoughts and insights, as Sharon reads from the 15th chapter of John's Gospel. I do hope you will stay with us.
I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples.
Thank you, Sharon, very much. This marvelous allegory of the vine is the last of seven such pronouncements by Jesus recorded in this gospel. This last of the I am sayings, like those recorded prior, should be appreciated for their profound and the emphatic nature of what they're saying about Jesus. It is all about Jesus as the I am. I am the bread of life, the light of the world, the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and life, and now not just the vine, but the true vine. These are, as has been stated, supreme majestic statements, not about mere likeness, but statements about Jesus' very nature, about himself, and with that unmistakable overtones of his declaring his divinity. Here he is saying, I am the true vine. He is not saying the vine is the church, but he is. The church, just like we disciples, are mere branches, which are to be in the vine. The vine is referred to often in the Old Testament as a symbol of Israel, a symbol that is used in Israel even to this day. Yet to the prophets it spoke of something else. I planted you a choice vine, holy of seed. Have you degenerated and become a wild vine? Jeremiah 2:21. Israel is a luxurious vine that yields its fruit. The more his fruit increase, the more altars he built. Their heart is false, and they must bear their guilt. Hosea 10:1 and 2. And Israel's song of the vineyard in Psalms 80. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? It was a symbol for Israel. but far more as a degenerate vine, a failed or sour vine, which is now, in Jesus' words, replaced by the true vine himself. This is a current theme in much of New Testament thinking now, that Jesus, the Messiah, is the fulfillment, the accomplishment of what was the calling for Israel. Israel failed to be that fruitful vine. They were the son brought out of Egypt, as the psalmist will declare. Thou didst bring a vine out of Egypt. Thou didst drive out the nations and plant it. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Why then hast thou broken down its walls, so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit, and boars from the forest ravage it? Turn again to the God of hosts. Have regard for this vine. Then he will never again turn back from thee. Unquote. Israel in its faithlessness was punished among the nations. But a new son has been brought out of Egypt. He, the I Am, is the true vine, the true bread of heaven. It is he that is the light that lighteth every man's way, the door, the way, the truth, and life. More, the good shepherd. And all of these allegories, these symbols, were used in the Old Testament for God. Don't let anyone tell you, as I have heard too often, even in seminary, that Jesus never claimed to be God. No, he just went about using every image, every prophetic description of God, and applied it to himself, his calling and ministry. And now, as the resurrection and the life is offering us a place beside him, and as the true vine, we know how this is to be done. As Jesus is the vine, we are immediately to see the Father as the vine dresser. The Greek actually denotes one who works in the land, but clearly the context is not that of a farmer, but one who works the vines. The Father is he who takes action to secure the fruitfulness of every branch. I do not necessarily take this as evidence of some being cut away, as much as it is the effort of God to ensure the fruitfulness of each branch. It is also a part of what is the picture of viniculture, and pruning is what ensures that the branches produce as much fruit as possible. It is said that a vine left to itself will not be as productive as it could be. Several miles from where we live here in California is an abandoned vineyard just off a freeway, untended, unirrigated, and certainly unpruned. It lies wild, ragged, and very unproductive. This is not God's intention with his people. We might wish for less attention, less challenge, less intensity in his calling for discipleship. You know his sayings, "He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy to be called my disciples. Go sell what you have and follow me." And the man went away sorrowful because he had much. You see, it is God's pruning that will bring forth greater. It is his work in and through us. That is what we will have as we join into the true vine. We might wish for less, but we have a God that has sought us, bought us at great price, and will not let us be. The fruit of Christian service is never the results of being left alone, of allowing our natural inclinations to run their course. Every branch in me, Jesus says, that does not bear fruit, he, the Father, prunes. However, the Greek is not really prune, but a wordplay, which literally is cleanseth. Stripped out of worthless growth. The meaning is what is to happen to the disciples, to what God will do for his people. It is not so much about vines at this point. The action of the Father is to strip, cleanse his people, that they will live fruitful lives, or to be more declarative, that the quality of our Christian character, or to be more apparent, we are to be richer and abundant in our fruitfulness. This cleansing, Jesus tells the disciples, has already occurred because of the word which Jesus has spoken. There is a cleansing, but Jesus is saying that his word is to have the effect of that cleansing, of stripping away what is unproductive, dead, and worthless in one's life. But it is too easy to see this work of God, this cleansing, stripping, as God's work, and overlook that, as Jesus said, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." There are apparently those who will be taken away. There is much in our own understanding that shrinks from such a declaration of being cut away. For here we know the fate of such pruning, of being cut away. It withers, is gathered, and then burnt. Yes, it is reminiscent of the Lord's words earlier when he states, "You are clean, but not all of you." Judas is not included. Such words here are strong and uncomfortable, for it gives pause to such concepts as irresistible grace and the perseverance of the saints. Or as I heard it often growing up, once saved, always saved. Clearly, the validation of being saved, of being in the vine, requires one to be in that place in Christ, to work out one's salvation with fear and trembling, to be aware that we are to walk with, live in, and as Jesus says here, abide in me and I in you. Clearly, what is being said, that to bear fruit, to be fruitful, to avoid being cut out by the Father, is that you must abide in me and I must abide in you. This could be a promise, which would be reassuring, but it is more like a command. Yes, we are to live in such a way that Christ will continue to abide in us. We are to have a real and continuous connection with the vine. We are not to live in isolation, but connected, living in and with, abiding in the vine, taking our nourishment, our strength, our empowerment, knowing that our fruitfulness exists only and because of that relationship with Christ Jesus. Further, Jesus makes it clear that there is a difference between he and us. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." It is a mutual indwelling, but no confusion here as to our role and his. And this is the condition for our fruitfulness. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing, he says. To abide in him is to bear fruit in quantity. If this refers to our calling to make disciples, it is encouraging. To abide in Christ is to see our efforts successful. And if it refers to our growth, our maturing in Christian character and virtue, this too is encouraging. For it speaks of God's work in us, causing a difference, a change in us, from one degree of glory to the next, of truly, in Paul's words, of putting on Christ, of being all the more Christ-like as we abide in him. And truly, part of that is knowing just how inept we are without him. This is not that we in ourselves are bumbling idiots, but this speaks of far more than just being effective in our own job, in our handiwork around the house. This is about spiritual things, that in isolation from Jesus, that there can be no spiritual achievements possible. I have seen all too often ministers, ministries, floundering because they try to do it in their own strength, whether they think they can do it on their own or confused about what is Christ in them and what is the Lord's work or his desires for them. And in their desire for great results, they rush ahead of God, or far worse, they fake it or pretend it is really the Spirit at work when it is not. We can do nothing without him. And what is complementary to this truth is the reality that, as Paul says, "I can do all things in him who strengthens me." Clearly, we are to abide in him, and this is essential. Who would wish to be cut off, withered, and gathered to be burned? And as one abides in him and his words in them, Jesus says, "Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you." Where Jesus had spoken of his abiding in his disciples, now he adds of his words abiding in us and its impact on our lives of prevailing prayer. Earlier, Jesus has spoken of prayer being in the name of Christ, and this is not different from what he has said here. It is all the same spiritual attitude, all of which is often overlooked by believers as they seek God's answers for their prayers. It is not that prayer is difficult, involved, or some obstacle course, but neither is it an open-ended promise that all our wishes, every desire of our heart is to be fulfilled. Prayer is, if anything, about obedience. If one is truly abiding in Christ Jesus, then our prayers will certainly be in his name. Our prayers will be in accordance with all that Jesus stands for. We will not ask contrary to what he desires for us. We abide in him, and his word is to abide in us. We will but ask, seek always what is in his purpose, for his presence is to be in us. What his word says to us then will be important. No, actually vital. None of this do we dare pass over lightly. We hear so often the mantra, "My God can do anything," and "ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you," which is all true, but we divorce it completely from these words of caution, where we are to be cleansed, stripped of what is unfruitful, that we are called to abide in him and his word in us, a life of obedience, humility, and accordance with his will for us, all that the Father may be glorified in us. For as we bear much fruit, it brings glory to him, and as such we will prove to be his disciples. God was glorified in the work of his Son, and we learn here that God can be glorified in the work of we disciples. As believers, our lives are not to be stale or static, but a dynamic, growing, developing life in him. This is no cheerless, barren existence that Jesus has called us to. Our lives are not to be hollow, shallow, or some insipid existence of dead rituals or stale traditions, but a living, pulsating life. This is how we truly are meant to live. We are branches, stripped, cleansed of what will not bring forth life, for we are to abide in the one true vine. My precious Lord, do continue to do the work in our lives that we be fruitful for thy kingdom. Strip from us what is unnecessary, ungodly, unclean, that we might indeed blossom and bring forth the fruit that will bring glory to the Father and the kingdom of his Son. For indeed that kingdom is meant to come on this earth as it is in heaven, and it will be, all for the glory of the Father and his Son forever. Amen and amen.
The narrative here in John's Gospel provides another image of our Lord's profound nature. That he is the true vine is indeed a rich and compelling picture, and provides us with additional insight and a deeper understanding of his purpose in our lives. It is what makes our faith so unique, and why Thomas has written, "Why Christianity?" This book, it is one you need to read, for it outlines the reasons why Christianity is, for so many compelling reasons, is the only real choice. So do write and ask for Dr. Wyatt's book, Why Christianity? It can be yours at no charge. Thank you doesn't seem to say enough to those of you who have become a part of this ministry with your gracious prayers and marvelous support, and we do thank you from the bottom of our hearts. You are such a blessing to us in so many ways, and we rejoice that you are a part of this work with us for our Lord and Savior. Your love offerings are what make this radio ministry possible, and God bless you for all that you do. Doing what we can together will make this world a better place, I'm sure of it. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, Postal Code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org.
Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. Your voice is a comfort, as is the truth that our Christian message, when given without dilution or compromise, is this sorry world's only hope. So many have written with concerns about our direction as nations, much of our leadership, and what God intends to do. We must trust our Lord. He will bring about all he desires, but it is in his time. So as we close, and before Dennis gives our addresses once more, Brett Younger sings this wonderful hymn, build my life. So until next week, know that our Lord is in the process of building us.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. CDs of all our programs are always available, and because of this unique message, Dr. Wyatt is offering at this time a copy of his newest book, Why Christianity? This is an aid for all Christians in their witness or encounters with those who do not believe. It answers the question of why should I accept Christianity or believe in Jesus? The answer is here, so do write and ask for Why Christianity? It can be yours at no charge.
Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.
All right, Jesus.